Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Abby said, if you don't know me, my name is April. I'm our kids team director here at Wellspring Church, and I've had the opportunity this summer to get to share with you a little bit as we are moving our way through the Summer Fitness Challenge. We are right in the middle of it, and every week we are learning more and more about what God wants to do in our life and how we can grow spiritually more fit. And I hope that you are finding these messages this summer and this truth to be applicable as you are searching for what's next in your spiritual journey and what God wants to do in your life personally. If you've missed any of the last few weeks, I want to encourage you to go back and catch up what you may have missed, what messages you haven't heard yet, because there's some great truth and some great application that we think is going to help you as you are growing and seeking to know more about what God wants to do in you and in your faith and just getting more spiritually fit and stronger. So go to our website at wellspringchurch.tv/summerfitness and catch up, especially if you missed last week. If you were not here last week, today is going to be sort of part two of the discussion that we started last week talking about having a personal time alone with God. You know, we love to come in here on Sundays and worship together and sing and praise God and open up the Word of God together to learn. And we love to come and serve on our volunteer teams and just to see our friends and people that we haven't been able to connect with throughout the week. That's an important part of growing our faith. And the Bible actually tells us to continue meeting together, to come together to sing and to read God's Word together. It's so important, and it's a valuable part of our faith that we should prioritize. But what I told you last week is that in addition to that, public worship, we need a different type of worship. We need personal worship and time alone with God. It is so important what we do here, and that public corporate worship is a valuable part of our life, but what we do privately with God is an extension of what we do here on Sundays. And I kind of told you, it's sort of like the difference between a group date and a one-on-one date. You know, when you go on a group date, you're with your friends and you're with your significant other. And it's fun. You go out to dinner and you hang out together, and that's awesome and wonderful and cool. But when you get alone with your person, you connect with them in a completely different way, in a more intimate way, and you get to know them on a different level than you would in a group date. And so it's sort of like that in our relationship with God. Being around the things of God is wonderful and great and valuable to our life, but it's not the same as being alone one-on-one with God. There are things that he wants to teach us and say to us one-on-one that we can't hear him say the same way in a room full of people. And we kind of talked about the further that we get away from Sundays, the more spiritually dehydrated we can become if we're not going back regularly to God for a refill. And so I encouraged you to think this week about ways that you can spend time alone with God and to think about when and how you can make that happen. Because when we need to spend time alone with God, it doesn't come quite as easily to us. And the reason is because it requires a certain amount of this discipline. It requires some discipline. You know what discipline is. Discipline is the decision or even the determination to do the things that we know we're supposed to do, but we don't really always want to do. It's the things like eating healthy or working out or, you know, getting the right amount of sleep every night. We know that we're supposed to do those things, but we're not always good at it because we think that we can get by without it. And so we may be push it aside, and we don't put those disciplines into place in our life. But the thing about discipline is that it always results in progress. It actually makes our life better when we create those habits and those disciplines in our life. If you start going to the gym and seeing the results of that, it can become something that you actually enjoy doing and you look forward to it. If you learn the habit of eating healthy, you feel better. You don't feel like you're having sugar crashes all the time, and you can actually start to enjoy eating more healthy foods. That is because what I said last week, what begins as a duty can become a delight in our life. The things that feel difficult to us, that feel like a duty, can actually become something that we enjoy. And I think that that applies to our time with God too. You know, in the beginning, if it's not a discipline that you already have in place, it can feel like a duty. it can feel like something that's hard. And maybe for you, you would say that you're just not a very disciplined person, that you are not good at keeping schedules and routines and doing things on your own independently, and I get that. And what I told you last week is that with all the love in my heart, I want to help you see that that's an excuse, really. You know, as a child of God, you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what Paul says is that because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to overcome a lack of discipline. I want to show you this verse that I pointed you to last week from 2 Timothy. Paul's speaking to Timothy, and he was Timothy's mentor. And he's reminding Timothy to be strong in his faith, and he says this, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Self-discipline. And we need that. That is a tool that when we put into practice, our faith gets stronger. We can be unwavering in our faith if we can learn to be disciplined in our faith. And when I was growing up, my mom used to say, if I ever said I couldn't do something, she would say, "April, can't never could. Can't never could." That's such a Southern thing to say too, isn't it? She would say, "Can't never could." If you say you can't do something, you probably won't. But if you will determine to be disciplined in the area of growing your faith, and if you will depend on the Spirit who is in you to help you, you will reap the benefits of that. He will help you to grow in that area. So if you feel like that might be a weakness that you are experiencing, depend on the Holy Spirit who is in you to help you grow in that area, and He will. There may be others of you who would say that it's not necessarily that you lack discipline. Maybe you want to read your Bible, and you've even tried spending time alone with God in that way and spending time in prayer, but you just don't know what to do. You know, the Bible can be a confusing book to read. Some of it's kind of confusing, and it's big, and it can be hard to know where to start and what to do. It's kind of like going to the gym by yourself for the first time. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but the first time I ever went to the gym, I was in college, and there was this gym near my apartment complex, and as I was driving by one day, I noticed that they were advertising a special for college students. And I was like, this is my moment. I'm going to go get fit. I'm going to sign up and start working out. And I had some friends that would all go work out together because that's what girls do. We travel in packs. But I was like, I don't need help. I can do this on my own. And so I went to the gym. I stopped by and I got signed up. I filled out all the paperwork and I signed a 6-month contract. Rookie mistake. This girl's giving me a tour around the gym, and I'm just kind of nodding along and acting like I know what she's talking about. Play along, smile and nod. And I go back a few days later for my first workout, and I was feeling so confident. I mean, I was going to get so fit. Well, I walked into the gym, and I looked around, and I realized I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know what half these machines are, let alone how to use them. And so I just went to the one machine that I knew for sure. What do you think it was? Treadmill. It was the treadmill. Because how can you go wrong on a treadmill, right? I mean, you just push the button and go. Well, I stood on the treadmill for about 5 minutes trying to figure out how to just make it start moving. I probably pressed every button. Beep, 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 beep. And I couldn't figure out what to do. And obviously nobody was helping me, but I also wasn't asking for help. And so I finally figured out how to get this treadmill going. But the whole time I'm just thinking how awkward I feel. Because I could just feel people staring at me, wondering what this girl was doing on the treadmill, thinking she was going to get it going eventually. So I finally did get it going, and I maybe managed to run for about 8 to 10 minutes, and I got really winded. And I had not even gone prepared with a water bottle. Dumb. Just totally inexperienced. And so I did the only logical next step. I left. Because what else was I going to do? And I never went back to that gym. I never went back. But they had my money for the next 6 months. You know what I had? A lecture from my dad. He was not happy with me. But I have had a lot of other experiences at the gym since then that have been much more successful. And the difference is that I wisened up and I went with somebody who knew what they were doing and could show me. So I've gone with people since then that are experienced, that can show me how to use the machines and kind of give me a method to follow. And the reason that I'm telling you that story is because if you sit down in front of your Bible to spend time with God, and maybe even you go in like, I'm doing this, I'm so ready. If you don't have some tools and some training on what to do, you might throw your hands in the air and walk away and never go back like I did from the gym. And so I don't want that to be your experience. You know, when we sit down to read our Bible, it is a living, breathing, powerful tool for our lives. And I believe that there is truth in here. I know there is, that God wants to use to teach us to get to know him better and to guide our lives. But if you're not experienced with the Bible, you might need some help in learning how to use it. And so today, I'm going to be your personal trainer for free. I won't even charge you. I want to help you with some practical tools so that when you sit down to spend time with God alone, you do not feel so awkward and overwhelmed with that time. I want to set you up for success. And so we're just going to walk through some practical tools today. And this might feel a little bit different than a normal message or sermon. This is more of a note-taking talk. And so I want to encourage you to get your pen and paper ready or take some notes on your phone so that when you go later this week to spend time with God, you're prepared to walk into that time with him, into that meeting with God. And just bear with me. I'm gonna try to be as engaging as I can, but these are really practical tips for you. So the very first thing that I would tell you as your personal trainer today, as you prepare to spend time with God, the very first thing that you need to do is make a plan. You need to make a plan. I will sometimes say to our kids team volunteers that separation is in the preparation. We come in every Sunday prepared and having prepared our environment and prepared materials that we're going to teach kids. And that sets us up for success in those environments because we've come in prepared. Now, God does the rest of the work. He is the one responsible for the life change that happens in this place. But we set ourselves up for success if we come in prepared. And so you will set yourself up for success in that time with God if you walk into it prepared. And so as a part of that plan, there are three questions that I want you to answer. And the very first one is, when will you read? When will you read? Now, this is maybe the hardest part of the whole thing because we're busy people, right? And we have a hard time carving out time for new things in our life. You know, it's like going to the gym. You need to be reasonable and choose a time that you can commit to. But this is maybe the hardest part. Once you figure this out, it will get easier. When you plan for other things in your life, think about what you do to make that happen. What do you use? A calendar or a schedule, right? Nowadays, we have all kinds of electronic apps and task managers and reminders on our phones to help us make all the things happen. You know, you keep track of all the parties and the practices and meetings and appointments, all those things, because you've successfully put them on your calendar and you're able to show up for those things and check them off your list because you put it on your calendar. So when you decide that you want to make time with God a priority, you need to begin by putting it on your schedule of things to do. Treat it like it's a priority and be intentional about making that time with God on purpose. Because I will guarantee you this, it will not happen if you're not intentional about it and if you don't have a plan for when to do it. There are just too many things and people and circumstances fighting for your attention for that type of discipline to just happen on its own. So you need to be intentional about it. You know, you need to know going into that time, be reasonable about it, but know going in that you're going to have to protect that time. You probably wouldn't cancel an appointment with your boss or a client or with the principal of the school because you've said, this is important and I've got to protect and make sure this happens today. So treat it like you're having a meeting with the king of the universe because that's what it is. Be protective of that time and commit to it. I can tell you that as a mom, I have looked at my children many times, and said, I'm reading my Bible or I'm spending time with Jesus. So unless you're bleeding or throwing up, save it for later. And that's okay. I don't feel guilty about that at all. You know why? Because I know that when I'm saying no to my kids in favor of a yes to Jesus, I'm leading them well. And that's probably a topic or a message for another day. But when I am saying no to my children because I'm spending time with God, I know that I am modeling for them what personal worship looks like and that it's a priority for me and that God matters more to me than anything else. And so just know that if you're a parent and you think that might be a struggle for you in setting up this time to spend with God, just rest in knowing that you're not neglecting your children, you're leading them well, okay? Now, you might have to say no to some other things, too. You might have to put your phone away, say no to checking emails and texts for a few minutes. You might need to say no to a few extra minutes of sleep or whatever it is, but just know that you're going to have to protect that time because it can be so easy to get distracted. When I decided that I was going to make personal worship a priority in my life, I shared that story with you last week. But I decided that I was going to have to get up early in the morning before anybody else in my house got up. And not because I'm a morning person, but because I knew with young children, if I didn't do that very first thing in the morning, that it was going to get pushed to the back burner so easily. And so I wasn't even a coffee drinker at the time, which is really hard to think about now. But I would lay down in bed at night and say, God, will you please help me get up in the morning and meet with you? And that sounds so silly and trivial, but I can tell you that it worked. So if you need to just say, God, will you help me wake up in the morning or will you help me prioritize this time with you? He will. He will listen because he cares about the details of your life. And you're still going to have to fight for it. It'll be hard, but you can do it. The other thing that I want to tell you, so first of all, choose your time. Yours does, by the way, it doesn't have to be early in the morning. I grew up thinking if I didn't have time with Jesus in the morning, that I was doing it wrong, and that is not true. You need to know that you choose the time that works for you. It might be your kid's nap time. It might be your lunch break. It might be after you've gone to the gym in the morning, or maybe if you work in an office, it's the first few minutes that you sit down at your desk that you commit to spend a few minutes reading your Bible before you start your work. Whatever it is, choose that time and commit to it. And you might forget some days, you might miss some of those appointments, but that's okay. God will not hold it against you. This is not about you checking off the list. It's about you getting to know God better. So that's the first thing in your plan is when will you read? The next thing is, what will you read? What will you read? You will be much more successful and productive going into this time with God if you choose ahead of time what you're going to read. I have tried the method of just opening up my Bible to any random page and closing my eyes and just, where's my finger going to land today? And seeing where my finger lands, and I can tell you that it does not work well. You might get something really great, but more than likely you're going to get something really confusing like this. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, the other locusts have eaten. What? Grasshoppers are eating each other? God, I don't get it. What does this have to do with me? You might get something great, but you might get something really confusing. Every word of the Bible is inspired by God and is useful for teaching us and training us and helping us be corrected in the way that we're living. But you will set yourself up for success if you choose ahead of time what you're going to read and go prepared. Maybe you just choose a book of the Bible. I would recommend doing that. Pick a book of the Bible that you want to read and start from beginning to end and read that book for as long as it takes you. Maybe you read a chapter a day. Maybe you just read a few verses or a section of a chapter a day. It's not a race. You can set the pace, okay? It's not a race. You set the pace. Go work at your own pace. And there's an app that I want to point you to. Probably a lot of you have it. How many of you use YouVersion on your phone? Lots of you do. YouVersion is a Bible app that you can download for free on your phone if you don't already have it. So it's super convenient to use. You've always got it right there with you. And the great thing about YouVersion is there's lots of different Bible reading plans that you can choose from. You can choose to read through a book of the Bible. You can choose something topically to study. You can choose to read the Old Testament or New Testament, whatever it is. There's dozens of options for you to choose from, and you can even set it to remind your phone to get a notification to remind you. So that's a great tool for you. But the point is, choose ahead of time what you're going to read. And then the next thing, the next question that you've got to answer and think through is, how will you apply it? How will you apply it? If you walk into your time with God and you just quickly read that chapter and then you close your Bible and you're done, you've missed an opportunity. If you are doing that, then you're simply just acquiring knowledge and you're not thinking about the whole purpose that you're spending time with God, which is to grow and learn from that time and to allow God to teach you. So you need to think about how you're going to apply what you've just read. Now, again, it's like working out. There are dozens of different ways to read your Bible. This is just one, but I want to give you one tool today that could help you, a really practical way for you to think about how you're applying what you read. And it's called the SOAP method. So you may want to write this down so you can reference it later. The SOAP method is not have any doesn't have anything to do with washing your hands before you read your Bible. The SOAP method is an acrostic, and it stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. It's very simple. So I'm going to walk you through each of these real quickly and kind of give you an idea of what each of those mean. So the first one is Scripture. That is simply the text that you're reading. What are you reading today? And as you read, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll read it once, and then I'll go back and I'll read it through again. Because what I'm looking for is anything that jumps off the page at me. Maybe it's one verse from that passage that I read. Maybe it's just one phrase. Sometimes even just one word that really grabs my attention that I want to spend some time thinking about. So that's Scripture. What's the one thing in those few verses that you've just read that jumps off the page at you? And then what you want to do, if you can, is write it down. So if you have a notebook or a journal that you're using, that's a good idea. You could also take notes on your phone if you're reading from your from YouVersion or another Bible app. And then the next one is O, observation. Make an observation about that text. Who's writing it? Who are they writing it to? Or what's the reason that they're writing this? And this is where I do find, as helpful as YouVersion is, this is where I find a physical Bible to be very useful. Because it's easy for me to see it on the page, and maybe I'm just old school like this, I don't know. But it's easy for me to see it on the page and to look around that text as what comes before it or what's after it. Sometimes there'll be headings that kind of give me an idea about why an author is writing that particular passage. So that is where I find a physical Bible to be useful. If you want to use a Bible, I want to recommend that you use a study Bible, particularly a Zondervan study Bible. Zondervan, Zondervan study Bibles are very good. There will be some factual information in there to teach you about who wrote that, why they wrote it. You might can even look in the index and read a little bit about a particular person that that text is about. So there's just lots of helpful things that will help you gain more understanding of the context of that scripture. And sometimes, once you understand the context, it completely sheds new light on the meaning and helps you with the application of that, which is what we're going to talk about next. A is application. If, like I said, if you're just reading it and you're not thinking about how this applies to you, then you're just acquiring knowledge and nothing else. You want to ask, God, what are you teaching me through this today? So from that one thing that you wrote down that really jumped out to you, what is God wanting to show you or teach you? How can you apply that? How is it challenging you to change what you're doing? Or how is it challenging you to apply that and maybe to tweak something in your life? And that's the application. So just think simply, what does God want to teach me through this today? And then the last thing, and you might write that down too. Whatever you feel like God's teaching you, write that down and make a note of it. And then the last one is prayer. Just say a simple prayer. God, thank you for what you've shown me today and help me to apply this truth to my life so that I can live the way that you want me and the best plan that you have for me. And it's that simple. It is really that simple. Read the text, what jumps out at you, make an observation about it, think about how it applies to you and your life, and then just say a simple prayer thanking God and asking him to help you apply that. I want to model this for you before we move on and just give you a quick, and we're going to go back through the 2 Timothy verse that we looked at first, and I want to just model for you practically what this looks like and how you can do that. I'm a visual learner, so anytime somebody walks me through something, it helps me apply it and remember it. So if I was reading the 2 Timothy verse from my Bible, I would go back to the beginning of the chapter. For time's sake and for your attention's sake, I will not do that today. But I do just want to show you that if I was going back to the very first chapter of 2 Timothy, this is where Paul states that he's the one writing it and that he's writing it to Timothy. And then there's also a heading in my Bible that tells me why Paul is writing this. It says, encouragement to be faithful. So that already gives me a clue why Paul is writing this particular letter to Timothy. And so let's start in verse 3. And it says, Paul says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. So already I can make an observation that Paul is writing this to Timothy and that he misses him. He's his friend, and he's just saying, hey, bud, I'm thinking about you, and I'm praying for you. All right, and then let's keep going. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. So he's saying, when I thought about you, it occurred to me that faith has been a part of the generations of your family. That's another observation that might matter to you as you're reading this. And he says, now you also have that same faith, Timothy. He's pointing Timothy to that and helping him be reminded that this is a faith not just of Timothy's, but it's been present throughout the generations of his family. And then finally he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So the observation that we can make is that Paul's writing to Timothy. He's thinking about him while they're away from each other. He's praying for him. He's pointing him to the history of his family and saying, this is a faith that's been present in your family, but now it's time for you to fan that into flame. It is alive in you, and you need to bring it to life through the power and the love and the self-discipline that is a part of your life, that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if I was applying this to my life, for me personally, this is important to me because I grew up in a family where faith was a part of the generations of my family. This has been passed down. The faith of God has been passed down through the generations of my family. I grew up in church. My grandmother was a believer. My parents were believers. But as I've gotten older, I've come to understand that this is my faith and that the Holy Spirit is alive in me, and this is something that I've got to boldly live out on my own. And in order to do that, I have to recognize that God has not given me a spirit of timidity, of fear, like we sang about this morning. I'm not a child of fear. I'm not a slave to fear, but I have the power, the spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. And then if I'm going to live out my faith, I've got to be strong and self-disciplined to do that. I've got to cling to God and rely on the spirit in my life to be full of power and love and discipline. And then I might just write a simple prayer or say a simple prayer saying, God, thank you for the faith throughout the generations of my family. Help me to own that faith for myself and to boldly live it out and to be self-disciplined as I follow you and your ways. And that's it. That's the SOAP method, the scripture, the observations that you make about it, how it can apply to you, and then just a simple prayer to thank God. And as you pray, I want to help you think about this too. It can be easy to turn your prayers into a shopping list and to just start listing all the things that you want God to help you with. But I want you to remember that when you sit down to spend time with God, this is a time for you to praise him and worship him and ask him to teach you. So just be careful about that. You can pray for other things or other people, but just be careful that you don't turn that prayer time into a shopping list. This is a teaching time that you're asking God to help you apply his word and grow from it. Before we close today, I want to remind you of something that I said last week. I told you last week that God's love for you does not depend on your discipline. That this is not about making you feel like a slacker or a failure when you don't sit down and spend time with God. This is about understanding that when we spend time with God, it's in those moments of alone with him, getting alone and asking him to teach us, that's when our faith really begins to grow and when we really get a firm footing on God's word and understanding it and on his promises and his plan for our life. It's just how we get to know him better. Our faith, the Christian life is based on a relationship with God. And so the more time that we spend with him alone getting to know his word, the better that we're going to understand his character and his plan for us. You cannot separate a love for God from a love for God's word. It's his love letter to you. It's how he wants to teach you about himself and about how much he loves you and what he wants for you. So it's important that we take time to understand it and apply it to our life. So this week, I hope that you will take the tools that I've given you last week and today, and that you will make a plan for how you're going to spend time with God. When are you going to read? What are you going to read? Choose something that you're going to read. And then think about how it applies to your life as you read each day. I believe that when you do that, and when you commit and protect that time, that God will honor it, and then you're going to get to know him so much better. And when you do, I believe that God's going to do something in you and through you to change the world around you. And that is what we're going to talk about next week, so I hope you'll be back. If this is important to you and this is something that you want to work on and developing the skill of learning and appreciating God's word, I want to point you to something that we're starting here in just a couple of weeks. It's a class, How to Read the Bible. Super practical information for you. We want to help you develop this skill so that you can experience all that God has to offer for you and that you can grow stronger and stronger and stronger and carry that to other people. So this class is starting July 15th. It's a two-part class, July 15th and 22nd, right here at Wellspring Church. And I believe that you will find it to be super helpful, practical information. You can sign up on your connection card. Just indicate that you're interested in the Bible reading class. You can also go to the info desk and sign up if you want to. Before we leave today, I want to pray for you and ask God to just help you with this area of self-discipline as you grow stronger and more committed in your faith with him. God, we love you so much. Thank you for the gift of your word and the treasure that it is to us. Thank you for how you use it to teach us and train us and help us to understand your character. I pray that we would have a deep desire to know you more and that we would use the God-given tool that you've given us, your word, your written word, to know you more. And through the power of your spirit, I pray that we would state claim to that we are your children and you've given us the gift of your Holy Spirit and the power to overcome every weakness, including the lack of discipline, that we would be challenged to be disciplined in this area of our life so that we can experience everything that you want for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.